808, good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Stay tuned. Coming up, I'll be checking in with Summit County Council Member Roger Armstrong. He'll have a recap of yesterday's meeting. Wasatch County School District Wellness Director Ben Springer will be in with District Spokesperson Kirsta Albert. We'll be talking about some of the mental health initiatives underway in the Wasatch School District. Violinist Lucia Micarelli has details about her shows this Sunday at City Park, part of the Big Stars Bright Night concert series. And finally, Park City Special Events Manager Jenny Dearson in with details on this weekend's art festival impacts. Stay tuned. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the Local News Hour on KPCW. Joining me now in the studio, Summit County Councilmember Roger Armstrong. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Let's start off with the fire situation, and in terms of the council spending a little bit of time on that, discussing and the need to follow wildland urban interface regulations. I mean, how do we get neighborhoods to do that?
You know, I think some neighborhoods are taking the bull by the horns. HOAs are starting to have meetings with their residents, starting to establish policies. I think everybody's got to understand that as our climate continues to get warmer and as we start to see drier summers like we are this year throughout the West, not just in Utah or Summit County, we've got to take proactive measures to keep ourselves safe. You know, when you look at what happened in Redding and the descriptions of that, when you look at, you know, other fires that we've seen, Santa Barbara, places that have just been destroyed by fire, it's getting to be more of a problem, I think, than we faced in the past. We got lucky with Rockport. That was primarily, as was discussed last night, a brush fire, basically. But it was still scary, and it threatened homes in the Promontory area, the Rockport area. So we need to create defensible space. We need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect our homes and keep them safe in the event that a fire breaks out.
Yeah, so do we need enforcement? Do we need incentives? I mean, how is it? I mean, you say some are kind of taking, you know, the bull by the horns, but others?
Well, I think for several years, the fire district has done a great job. They've got a chipping program, and if you want to trim trees back at your home, if you want to clear space around your home to make sure that there's that fire break between your home and the wildland interface, they'll bring a chipper to you and allow you to chip whatever you've got. And I'm not sure if they operate it for you, if they just allow you to operate it. But that's a program that's been in force, I think, since I've been here, or certainly, I think, since Paul Hewitt's been here. So they do a great job with it. You know, I think we probably have to do more outreach and education, make sure that people understand what's going on. I think the HOAs are a natural place for some of that information to reside. You can incorporate that into your HOA plans and make sure that there's an enforcement authority there through the HOA. The problem, as I mentioned last night, you know, we've got leash laws. We've got, you know, I don't know if we have specifically a Summit County Wildland Interface Ordinance, but the state has, I think, certain requirements. Whenever we have ordinances, the next question is, how do you enforce them? And that winds up being probably the most difficult thing that we face, whether it's enforcement of building codes, enforcement of lighting standards, enforcement of leash laws, or anything else. We just don't have enough bodies to do it. We had a request from a resident in Summit Park yesterday to address the issues of engine brakes. Again, it comes up periodically on Interstate 80 coming down the hill. And we have the capacity to do it. We have an ordinance to do it, but it means taking a sheriff's deputy and assigning them to enforcement. The sheriff actually has to do that. And the sheriff's office has to balance their enforcement ability, their manpower, and allocate it accordingly. And so those are tougher issues for us on the enforcement side.
Another related issue brought up by Council Member Glenn Wright is how we work with the state and the federal feds to get the deadwood harvested in forest to avoid catastrophes like Dollar Ridge. So, I mean, does someone follow up on that? Or?
Well, I think Glenn has been following up on that. He's been having those conversations. And I think we'll continue those. There's a lot of deadfall in the federal lands. Kim and Glenn both have had conversations with Forest Service personnel about how we get in there to do that. I think it's going to be a multi-step process to try and get in. And it's an expense process. You know, we could, and I think the state and the feds have at various times had programs that allow lumber companies to go in and harvest some of that stuff. We had these conversations 4 years ago or 5 years ago as it relates to the North Slope near Wyoming. A lot of deadfall up there. And the concern is that in a particularly hot fire, it winds up scorching the ground so badly that the runoff is impossible and our water supply winds up being profoundly affected. So it's a real issue. But the cost, you know, if you're harvesting dead trees and you try and turn that into lumber or something else, there's not a lot of value in it. You know, harvesting live trees obviously has a lot of value. Completely dead trees has far less value, and something in between does have value. So it's a matter of finding the means to actually make it happen. Glenn mentioned yesterday, you know, that there could be possibilities of doing that. The question is, what is the cost of that and who bears it?
Meanwhile, on the regular agenda, the council approved the contract for the new Mountain Regional Manager, Scott Morrison. Did you get a lot of applications for the position?
I think they did. They had a number of applications. They narrowed it down to, I can't remember, 6 or 7 candidates, I believe, and went through the interview process, and Scott rose to the top. Scott's a smart guy, and he's got an interesting background that led him here. He's a chemical engineer. He got a master's degree. He's been involved with Mountain Regional for some period of time, and I think, you know, there was some thought with the administration within Mountain Regional and probably with the Administrative Control Board prior to the changes at the management level that he might be a candidate that they would want to look at later. So he was familiar with the organization. Like I said, a smart guy, and I think he'll do a great job.
And the council also accepted the Democratic nomination of Rhonda Francis. It was basically just something you had to do.
Yeah, you know, Rhonda's been with the county, I think, in her position in the recorder's office for 14 or 16 years. So she's got a lot of experience, and it's one of those jobs where I think experience does matter, passion does matter. She wanted this job, and she's going to work hard for us. So we were happy to get that.
The item on Promontory employee housing was tabled. How come?
I believe that today Tom Fisher has an action before him related to Promontory, and I think the affordable housing piece of that, I'm not familiar with exactly what he's doing today or ruling on, but I think affordable housing is a piece of that or maybe related to that, and it seemed premature. Also, we've been told that there are amendments to the development agreement and certain other materials that we didn't have because we could be an appeal body for decisions that are made. So I don't think we had all the information that we needed to even have a discussion that was worth anything. So we tabled it for now.
Okay, so he'll go ahead and make the decision then and then come back to the council with some recommendations or what?
He'll make the decision. I think today
it's about a clubhouse, a new clubhouse.
Yeah, and I think today is a public hearing or some sort of discussion about it. I'm not sure whether today is a decision, but ultimately Tom will make a decision. And I think the county council winds up being the appellate body on any decision like that. So if it goes in a direction the developer doesn't like, then that would come to us. So better that we don't have a whole lot of discussions about site issues related to it.
All right. Summit County Fair starts on Saturday. How do the improvements look to you?
I haven't seen them. I'm going to be, we'll get a peek at them just before everything starts. The seniors luncheon is on Friday, the 10th. The demolition derby is the 11th. The parade, I think, is the 11th. I'm looking forward to it. I love the fair. It's one of my favorite times in Summit County. And if you haven't been, check it out. The demolition derby is a kick in the pants.
Too late if you didn't get your tickets.
No kidding. It changed my son's life. So he didn't realize things like that existed. So it's great.
And any update on the transit system? As we're reporting, the Park City Council discussing some proposed changes or reorganization to their transit department at their meeting today.
Yeah, I've actually been able to have discussions with Diane and Andy. I had a conversation with Steve Joyce. They're taking very proactive measures to reorganize the transit department, and that all sounds very, very positive. My frustration was not necessarily even with Park City. My frustration is that we've made some changes to the transit system that were very positive. I mean, we've made a number of changes generally. We've got the express system. We've got the e-bike system, which I do believe is taking cars off the road. Now that we've got that express system in, I've been saying for some period of time, we need to start looking at that as kind of the centerpiece of the transit system. So if we have routes running from one end of the basin, Kemble Junction, into Park City with dozens of stops, I'm not sure that makes a lot of sense. Why don't we shorten the time periods on a smaller regional basis and get people to an express stop that will get them close to where they want to go. It may wind up requiring an additional change, but if all of those many regional pieces are able to connect into it, I just don't think we're doing it as efficiently as we can. And so part of my concern was, you know, the county led on some of these issues a couple of years ago. And I think it's time for us to sit down and not simply rely on Park City and require Park City to come up with the answers. Caroline works with them, but we've got our own end of it to think about. We've got the Ecker Hill parking lot coming on. It's being moved along pretty quickly, and we're going to have 500 spaces there that we can park people. Can we get people from Pinebrook and Jeremy to join the system? How do we do that? It's time for us to anticipate having that additional piece in and start coming up with solutions.
Yeah, but we're still buying these big buses. Why aren't we looking at some smaller transit, electric vehicles or something?
I think it's a great comment. I think Park City took a look at that a year ago when they talked about trying to do the microtransit. That resulted in a lot of discussion about the types of vehicles that they were trying to use, but it shouldn't have taken away from the concept that microtransit is what we need to work on. And how do we implement that? And is that, you know, do we do that with the hotel style smaller buses or mini buses like we use for the Dial-A-Ride? It's an appropriate discussion to have. And I think part of my frustration also is that historically, since I've been on the council, JTAB has been mostly a one-way information system. Council members from Park City and Summit County meet with the transit folks on the JTAB committee, and the transit people inform the council members what they're doing. Council members have an opportunity to ask questions, but it has not been a true problem-solving discussion kind of group. That tends to happen at a more granular level within the city council, within the county council and staff, and then the county council and city council have come together a number of times to have those discussions about how to implement things. And I think what Diane said yesterday about turning JTAB into an organization that is more public-facing, that's able to take comments back from the public on a more active basis to address issues like you just mentioned, you know, with the types of buses that we're circulating, we have a better chance at addressing real problems and implementing them.
Okay, I need to leave it there. Roger, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Leslie. Take care.
Summit County Council Member Roger Armstrong, you're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW.